We've talked about PeopleSmart as someone who is going into an interview. But many of you might be supervisors. Maybe you're the senior pastor. Maybe you're a pastor. Maybe you want to conduct an interview for a volunteer position at your church. The principles of conducting an interview are very important. Kathleen Keene, in her book, How to Conduct an Interview, writes about what that conducting an interview process is all about. She begins by saying, what is the purpose of an interview? Simply stated, a good interview is one which leads to the selection of the best candidate. So as you are leading that process, your goal is to give a good interview. Now, there is a special challenge. The interview is a special challenge. You have less than an hour, and we'll talk about timing later, and a limited amount of information to select one person who might work with you, you know, if you're the leader, for many years to come. And remember, the single most important factor in the success of your enterprise, whether it is a company, a hospital ward, an office, a laboratory, your church, or any other team of individuals, a ministry, a program, is the character and qualities of you and your colleagues. You will want to introduce a new member of staff who is going to contribute to the work of the team and fit as a constructive member of that team. So the first thing is get prepared. Go through each job description with highlighter felt-tipped pen. Mark the elements of the job description you feel are most important as you've gone through the job description. Go through each application form, you know, and the resumes with your highlighter felt-tipped pen. Mark the candidate's responses to where there's an issue you wish to discuss or which a question comes in your mind. Mark those things which make that candidate stand out either in a positive way or a negative way. So get prepared. Get a notebook. Write down notes. If you're interviewing a lot of prospective employees, you might forget what was said in a certain resume. Make sure that you write down your intuitions and your thoughts. Some of these things are very important in the interview process. Now, when you invite the candidates to come in, there are going to be some expectations of candidates. You should expect a strong candidate who really wants to work with you to make reasonable efforts to find out about the enterprise they are applying for. And an interview questions to explore this are entirely appropriate. If someone comes to you and says, you know, I have no idea what Christian Leaders Institute is all about, and they're expecting me to hire them, I'm expecting them to research. I'm expecting them to dig deep into who we are, at least check out our website and really get an idea of what we do. There's issues of the location of the interview. Now, some of this stuff Kathleen Keene writes about are in busy corporate environments, but I'll give them to you because you might be a bivocational leader in such an environment. Consider holding the interview in a discreet place separate from the immediate location where the vacancy arises. Not only does this help set the candidates at ease, it also ensures that the panel members are less likely to be interrupted by urgent business matters or be tempted to nip out to check their email. So, in a church environment, it might just be a room in the building, or it might be at a restaurant. Now, here's an agenda given by Kathleen, and I think it really hits upon the main issues. 5 minutes for introductions, 5 minutes for the candidate's opening remarks, 30 minutes for questions, 10 minutes for supplementary, 10 more for panel notes and discussion. So there's your hour of the agenda in the interview. As a leader, you think about the environment. Here are some interview room tips, and this is how the room should be prepared. Find a tidy room, well-lit, relatively quiet. Put a sign outside, especially in a busy place. Interview in progress. Quiet, please. Arrange a table in the middle of the room, which is wide enough for all the panel and deep enough for the candidate sitting on the other side in the middle. This way, they can write something without jumbling papers with the chairperson. It's useful to have panel members' name cards on the table so the candidate can identify who is asking the question. Make sure the room is warm, well-ventilated, that the sun does not shine in the eyes of the candidate. On the table in front of the candidate's place, some plain paper, a couple of sharpened pencils, a jug of fresh water, a glass, maybe a cup for coffee. Those are very important as you set the environment. Now, each in the room have certain roles. The chairperson manages the interview process, introduces the members and the candidates to each other, initiates the questions based upon the application form and resume, asks follow-up questions at the end, leads the panel discussion, makes a brief report of each candidate and interview panel's recommendation. The role of panel member number one is to question the candidate on their job experience. Usually this might be the candidate's possible boss or someone that's connected in the organization. So that's the panel number one. Panel number two is broader responsibility. You might ask wider personal character type questions and questions about long-term potential. The chairperson's responsibility. It is the chairperson's responsibility to ensure that all the necessary preparations have been made, that the room is adequate, that the candidate will be received and will have somewhere to wait, and that each panel member has all the relevant papers, resumes, etc. It will be a good idea for the panel to meet at least 15 minutes before the first candidate is seen in order to ensure that the panel members are introduced to each other if they don't know each other. So what you're going to be doing is working as a team. Now, this might be in a church setting. There might be an elder there, the pastor. There might be other people there. And really, as a team, the chairperson might give a signal to say to someone if they want to bring something to a halt or your time is up, one of the panel members. But the goal is to work as a team. So let's start the interview. It is often a welcoming idea and a good way to start the interview if the chairperson introduces themselves to the candidates in the waiting area and walks them to the interview room. In a couple of informal questions, the chairpersons can get the candidates talking. Check that she or he is actually the candidate expected, and make sure they're well received, they're ready to start. The candidate can then be shown to the chair as the chairperson takes their own seat. Introduction. The first formal duty of the chairperson then is to introduce each panel member to the candidate with their names, a job title, and the position in the organization. Now, this is very important. Begin with the first 5 minutes. Then the chairperson might open with some brief, gentle questioning arising from the application or the resume, such as gap in career or educational history, or why they chose this particular college. Then after a few minutes, once the candidate has overcome their dry throat, the chair might ask, "Thank you. Perhaps I could ask you to spend 5 minutes telling us about your calling into ministry and why your skills here are given to you by God to make a difference," or something like that. Then focus on those 5 minutes. Might be something like, this is what Kathleen writes, your career over the last 5 years, or your interest in this research area. This area of work excites you. This is the candidate's opportunity to set the scene and give the panel hooks that lead to deeper questioning. It's also the panel's chance to gauge whether the candidate thinks clearly, presents themselves with clarity, and with enthusiasm. This is an important first 5 minutes. The rest of the day, in terms of that hour interview, will come off of that first 5 minutes ordinarily. The chairperson's role, The chairperson's role includes taking charge at the end of the candidate's 5 minutes and at the end of panel members' questioning time, passing the floor to the next questioner. The role of panel members in questions. The role of panel members is to explore the areas allocated to them in the pre-interview discussion. Now, if you're an inexperienced interviewer, you will probably find yourself in the role of panel member number two. You'll probably be expected to work with and manage the successful candidate so that you have a good understanding of what qualities and experience, training, and background are needed for the job. Now, types of questions. Don't ask questions that can be answered with yes or no. And if possible, avoid questions that have a one-word factual answer. For example, in a veterinary job, don't ask, "Have you worked with sheep?" Instead, you might ask, "Could you tell me about your experience working with sheep and goats?" If you are looking for a stonemason assistant, don't ask, "Do you find it easier to work with marble or granite?" Ask instead, "How would you compare granite and marble as media for masonry?" And do some probing. You should aim to pose questions which are not only reveal the candidate's knowledge, but also require them to think and hopefully express an opinion. The objective is not to push the candidate till their ignorance is revealed and demonstrated to all. Even an expert and an interviewer like you will have a point beyond which understanding is shaky. It is to explore both the depth of detailed knowledge and the breadth of understanding. Whatever you conduct an interview, whatever it's about, and whoever the candidates are, that questioning, that formal questioning is very important. But understand that there's a limit. You don't want to get so picky that you push someone into a wall. In the line of questioning, so now you've listened to the candidate and many of the panel members then, and the chairman will write down certain thoughts from that opening comment. What will happen is you'll come with 4 or 5 lines of questioning based on what you highlighted, you know, in the resume or the application, or what you heard at the beginning of that first 5 minutes. As soon as you feel you've exhausted a line of question, or as soon as you have grasped the candidate's depth and breadth in that area, move on. Don't be afraid to move away from your prepared lines if an interesting line of questioning emerges. Keep time. Do it in such a way that the candidate doesn't notice that you're keeping time. Don't just look at your watch. Don't distract the candidate, but keeping time is very important. The chairperson keeps the process going. The chairperson should pick up on any issues or important questions that have arisen during the interview so far. Then the candidate should be offered the chance to ask any questions of the panel members or to add anything they feel has been unexplored. Often the candidate will ask factual questions. If successful, when will I start? Are uniforms supplied? Can I work flexible hours? These sorts of questions should be answered quickly, directly, and factually. The chairperson will redirect them to whoever is best placed in the meeting to ask them or answer them. After this is all done, the chairperson will inform the candidate when a decision will be given so that the candidate knows that they will be contacted and when the candidate will be contacted. Now, after the interview, so the candidate has left and there will be evaluation, appearance and presentation, education and experience, team working. The potential of each candidate will be discussed by the panel in order to come up with a recommendation. Now, what you might want to do is you might want to, if there's several candidates, you might want to find the top 3 candidates and possibly bring them back for a second interview, or maybe it's 2 candidates, or maybe it's clear one candidate is the person that the panel really likes. So then go on to making this kind of a decision in this process. Let each person on the committee, the panel, share their opinions. Eliminate the candidates that do not fit the opportunity. The one who is supervising needs to be comfortable. You know, if everybody on the panel likes a candidate and the supervisor is not comfortable no matter what, that is a big red flag. Do not hire someone who was the best of the picks of non-fits. You do not want someone to be hired who is just the best candidate, but still was not the right person for the position. Do a SWOT evaluation of the final candidate. SWOT is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Some of these questions, like what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What opportunities do you see you could bring? What are those things about this position that are threatening to you? All of those things would have probably been asked somehow in the interview, and at the end, you want to evaluate those very things. If the finalist or finalists are still raising doubts but not enough to eliminate candidates, feel free to call anyone back for a second interview. Add someone to the panel or a higher up leader in the organization if persistence of unclarity is still in the panel. Commit the decision to prayer, especially if this is a church. Commit every decision to prayer. If this is in the general population, praying might be something not allowed. But you as a leader here could commit the decision to your personal prayer to ask God to give you insights. Commit to the decision. So if a decision is finally made, just really rally behind that. And after you've committed to the decision, inform the candidate or candidates of the decision. You know, conducting an interview doesn't have to be that scary. It can be something that you can feel good about and understand you're not going to be perfect. You know, I've hired various people throughout my ministry calling, and there are times when something did not work out. But I know that when we follow a process, when we have done our homework, most times something really good will happen with the candidate that we'll hire. If not, we will learn something very valuable. So in being people smart is about controlling that process we learned in previous sessions, that we bring the best to the table, that God is glorified no matter what we are called to do.